So here's what I was thinking. We've got one piece of business that I'd like for us to do, which is the flyers that Lisa made for us, to look at those and hear too from people about what they might have. And I thought, you know, last time we talked about using these calls more as, you know, kind of training opportunities, sort of like we do on the in the facilitator retreats, and thought we'd do an exercise. I think we need a good probably 35, 40 minutes to do that. So I thought we'd go ahead and get started and see what we get. And I wanted to tell folks, too, and Tony, maybe this could go out in an email announcement for folks who are not on the call, that we decided to cancel the facilitator retreat in November. I don't know if folks who were not on the last call have had a chance to listen to the recording, but we had a conversation about that and realized it really isn't going to work. I think we'd end up with a really small amount of people here, and I'm just not, you know, we're not sure that that is a really good way to go about it. Instead, what we talked about doing is, well, a couple things. There's a whole bunch of ideas about how we can kind of do our training and our practice together in different ways. And I think, I don't think we'll get into that on this call, but there's a conversation happening here and in other places, and soon we're going to be getting together in Green Cove, a number of us, and I'm sure it'll come up there, you know, ways that we can, there can be like smaller groups doing facilitation practice, things like that. And the other thing we talked about is doing a, taking in 2011 in the summer, a time when we could go ahead and put it out there way ahead of time so everybody, and try to get everybody there, or as close to everybody there as we possibly can, and so really have it be a good time to come together and really a good use of our resources. Jen.
Just one more thing about that. One of the reasons that we're looking at that is we don't want people to be choosing a facilitator's retreat and that's the only thing they can come to in a year, for example, and then they miss like being on retreat with Sherry, which we talked about is also feels really important for facilitators to have that exposure to the guide. And so hoping that maybe if we put it on the schedule in 2011, that people could really look ahead time-wise, money-wise, all of that, and maybe in that year not have to make that decision, maybe be able to come to the facilitator's retreat and come to another retreat that they might come to in an annual period.
And in between now and then, like I sort of alluded to a minute ago, that we'll use these calls more towards what the kind of things we would do on that retreat, which I think would help us. Another idea we had is we could do a Skype workshop amongst ourselves, just the facilitators occasionally, and like that. So I think there's a whole lot of possibilities actually that are going to come out in the next couple of months of ways that we can be really, really supporting each other without having to actually get here in person, which in a way is kind of good anyway because then, you know, there's only a certain number of people who can come and like that. And then we actually talked yesterday about recording what happens in Green Cove and getting it up on the web like we've done with past facilitator retreats so that way everybody can get dialed into whatever happens over there.
That's nice.
Any comments about that before we move on to something else?
Sounds good.
Dave?
Yeah.
This is Janet. Yay, yay, yay. I'm very excited, and I love the Green Cove idea as well.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of interesting, fun things that happen there. You know, Sherry will be with us a big part of the time for that, and so you know, whenever she's around, a lot of movement happens. That's really good.
Thank you.
Okay, so our piece of business is to look at the flyers that Lisa created for us, and I'd like for us to approach this in a slightly different way than we have before, also. Just in aid of being efficient on these calls and using them in the best way possible to do, you know, kind of the training and support that we want to do. So what I'd like for us to do, in the past, we've kind of gone through and really attempted to kind of make all the decisions about the flyers as a group, and it ends up taking a long time and I think probably not being a lot of fun for people. So instead, what I thought we could do is go through them and get everybody's input, and then we'll just stop there. And then we'll, here at the monastery, we'll take that input into consideration and come up with a final for us to use. So I don't know if you had a chance to see it. They went out yesterday, I think it was, to everybody. But the first thing to decide, there's two different versions design-wise. I think the text is the same, if I remember right. Lisa, jump in to correct me if I'm wrong about any of this.
Okay,
so what
Dave,
I'm calling version. Go ahead.
Dave, I just wanted to, I don't know if anybody else had this experience, but I could not open the file.
I could not open mine either. This is Sarah.
I could not open mine. This is Sarah.
Yeah, I think what's going on is I was on a Mac, and it the extension was DOCX, so I think it was done in the most advanced version of Word, and for some reason you have to save it in a special way for it to migrate over to Mac.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So when I sent them, I said, you know, we might need to resend them again so that people with older versions of Word can open it. So that might be the problem.
Okay. Well, we could send it out. Well, send it out to people after the call. I think we could probably do it without it because the text is fairly simple. We can just read through it. Is there anybody out there who has seen the design?
I have.
Mm-hmm.
I have. Okay. So there's not a whole lot of difference between the two designs. I'll just describe it for folks who. There's a title at the top, you know, the part, and let's see. There's a title at the top that says the practice of conscious compassion and awareness, and then there's the typical meditator, which is sort of the universal symbol of our practice, is there underneath the title, and then the difference between the two is that one of them said, let's see now. The text is the same. There's a text in a box, and then. And one of them, and then the text is underneath the meditator in the other one. For those who can see it, do people have a preference between the two designs? A lot of nods here, so what?
I do.
Bob, was that you?
Yeah.
Did you have a preference?
Yeah, the one with the box is nice. And the only thing I thought about the box is that if it is a quote from Sherry, maybe quoting Sherry Huber there.
Oh, good point. All right. What were the other design preferences? Version 2, Jen said.
And Dave, this is Tony. I was not able to open them, but Rebecca sent in some comments. She was not going to be able to be on the call.
Okay.
But she also said she preferred the one. So she said she preferred actually the one without the box. And then also mentioned crediting Sherry Huber.
For the quote, yeah. Okay.
For the quote.
Other preferences?
Yeah, this is Janet. I liked the one without the box also.
Without the box? We might have
this
to do a tally. We might have to arm wrestle over this one.
One thing that it is just a design thing, so it's kind of like there's everything centered. I mean, everything, you know, is basically spaced or designed so that you could draw a line down the middle and there's equal portions of everything there, and so. And if you want it to stand out, it certainly does, but it's kind of like...
Okay.
You know, Davis is Lisa.
Lisa.
Yeah, there's one difference to explain just a little. So on version 2, there's a slightly different text at the bottom. So the only thing that's added in 2 that for key groups, it says... or I think it's the same for sitting. It says, our group will be using excerpts from her book, The Key, and the name of The Key is Willingness, as a focus for group discussion. So when I added that text to version 2, the quote didn't fit under the meditator anymore, and that's where I came up with the text box.
Oh.
So there was kind of a reason for the text box. Not that I'm not married to any of this. But, you know, I have no, I'm not in love with any of it. It can all change. But that was really the reason for it. Because I couldn't fit the quote anymore when I added a little bit more about using the key. Because I know in a former call, someone had mentioned that they really thought that having that we were going to be using the key as a discussion point should be on the flyer. So that's why I left it off of version 1, but then stuck it into version 2. So that's just the other kind of important little difference.
Okay. Let me read the text for everybody because some folks are flying blind here. So at the top in small type, it says... lead a kind and joyful life. Under that, in bigger type, it says the practice of conscious, compassionate awareness. And then under that's the meditator. And then version 1 has, on the left of the meditator, the quote from Sherry. It says, sitting down, being still, and looking inward will lead us to clarity and freedom. Version 1 has that same quote under the meditator. Under that, it says, explore the writings of American Zen teacher Sherry Huber, and practice Zen meditation with this weekly group.
Well, that's the one for the sitting group.
Okay, yeah. Practice Zen meditation, right. And for the key there, it says, explore the writings of American Zen teacher Sherry Huber and experience awareness practice with this weekly group. And then under that is the sort of more of the practical information. This is the one for Philadelphia. It says Monday evening, 7 p.m. This is in larger type. Art Museum area of Philadelphia. For details, contact, and then there's a email address. Under that in smaller type, it says all experience levels are welcome. Participation in the group is free of charge. Voluntary donations of any size are requested. And then under that, it says, I'm going to read version 2, which has, I guess, the most text. Author of such books as Suffering is Optional and There is Nothing Wrong with You, Sherry Huber has been a student teacher of Zen for over 30 years. Our group will use excerpts from her book, The Key, and the name of the key is Willingness, as a focus for group discussions. For more information on Sherry Huber and the Zen Monastery Peace Center, visit, and then there's the web address.
Hey, this is Marie.
Marie?
I like the quote under the meditator best, but I wonder, do we really need the sentence about reading the key? Because we've already said we're exploring the writings of Sherry Huber. And to me, sitting groups, and probably key groups too, are about something a lot bigger than one book.
Uh-huh.
And I just wonder if we really need that sentence. And also, the shelf life of the flyer will be longer since we're halfway through the key.
You're saying, let me see if I'm with you. You're saying the sentence that goes, our group will use excerpts from a book, key, and the key is the name, key, as a focus for group discussions.
Yeah. I'm not strongly attached to that, but it just doesn't seem.
Oh, I see. It already says explore the writings of, and so maybe we don't need to say specifically what it is. That makes sense to me. So that would make, if I understand what's going on here, which may or may not be a case, that that would make it possible to put that text underneath it, if that's the one people liked, and still have the whole text be there.
Right.
Yeah, so that's version 1, basically.
Mm-hmm. We still need to attribute the quote, so maybe we'll head towards version 1.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Michael.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm following, it seems like the only difference between the two is one says experience awareness practice and one talks about Zen meditation. Is that right?
That's my understanding, too.
Okay. It was really small. I didn't even catch it the first time when I looked at them.
Yeah, I don't even know if we particularly need two versions. I don't know what people think about that.
That's what I was wondering.
Experiencing awareness practice applies to both.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is Lisa. I guess the distinction seems interesting just because if you are interested in sitting practice, it might be, I don't know, interesting to know that when you go to the group, you're actually going to be doing sitting practice. But it is the same thing as awareness practice. I mean, it's all awareness practice. But I guess it's just a little different if you think you're going to be doing, traditional sitting meditation, even though it's not even called that there. So I don't know. I don't know what people think.
Any opinions on that? Does that seem important?
Well, this is Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. We might. It seems to me we might want to let people know you're not sitting. You are. There will be sitting meditation, or there won't. Now we could do that in orientation.
Get that information when they come.
Okay.
Dave, this is Marie. Since we're talking so much about exploring writings, which is a little, I guess, different from the basis of our practice, it seems like the word meditation is really important, at least for the sitting groups to me. Because, book discussion group can sound like all kind, can be sound really far from what we're doing.
Like Oprah's reading club, kind of.
Right. People can think it's that. So to me, the meditation word helps put it in context a good bit.
Yeah. That's where I was leaning to, that seems like, I mean, discovering that in orientation when you're already there is, yeah, but even so, I do think, I mean, it's the center of what we do, so it's nice to have it on the flyer.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to have it on the flyer, too. For the record, people would get the information before they come. That's the other thing we're working on is, they get an email before they come that has the schedule and has all the information just like they get here at the monastery. Okay, so I'm hearing, are we leaning towards version 1? Anybody want to make an impassioned appeal for version 2? Okay, good. Any other input from folks?
Hey, Dave.
Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
This is Mickey.
Mickey?
These are just three little things. I really like the flyer. I love the way it looks. But three little things jumped out at me. One is that it felt odd to me to have the quotation without an attribution because people wouldn't necessarily know it was from Sherry.
Yeah, we caught that. We'll put Sherry's name under it.
The second one was voluntary donations are requested. to me, something like invited, welcomed.
Accepted.
I don't know. It depends on how strong we want it to be, but it might turn some people away if it actually sounds like it's requested.
Yeah, I actually had the same thing come up. That might not be the very best word there on a flyer, because we can make that request while people are there. Like, do other folks have opinions about that?
Dave, this is Tony.
Go ahead, Tony.
Rebecca, that's something else she had written in about, and suggesting donations of any size are gratefully accepted instead of requested. So
yeah.
Pass that along.
Yeah, this is Linda. I like that too, and I think saying voluntary donations is a whatever you call one of those things, oxymoron. One of those things. I don't think there are such things as mandatory donations, but maybe there are.
Well, that's a good point. It could actually be just donations of any size. Okay.
And Dave, one just other little thing is that I tripped over the word such books, thinking that maybe it could say something more like Sherry Huber has been a student and Zen teacher of Zen for over 30 years and has authored X number of books, including blah, 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 blah. No, it just, for me, sounded awkward.
Okay, I'll just put a little awkward note by that and see if we can fix it.
That's all. Otherwise, I like it.
Okay, great. Anything else?
Catherine has a question.
Catherine?
I know I have a lot of conditioning around the donation thing. I'm aware of that, so I'm just going to say, ask. I would like to, should someone come to my group, and that would be wonderful, at what point can I say the donations go to the monastery to make it clear that I don't get the donation?
Oh, I think that could be a part of your orientation.
Just a part of the orientation. Okay. Thank you.
There could also be what we do at the monastery. Have a little basket that says on it, donations to Zen Monastery Peace Center or something like that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Dave. This is Lisa.
Lisa.
Hey. Yeah, I definitely think voluntary donations, I wrote it. It sounds funny. So that should probably be different. And the reason requested is on there is because actually in a previous conversation we had talked about having welcome. And then people, I remember a couple of people had opinions that they didn't feel that was strong enough, that gratefully accepted sounded kind of, I don't know, like, boy, we really hope you do. And they wanted stronger language. So requested actually was a response to that. And so if people are feeling like, you know, that's basically the history of why I use that. But, you know, that's fine if we want to just have it as welcomed. I usually feel more comfortable with welcomed, but that was the reasoning behind that word.
Okay. Yeah, it might be a difference, too, between our attitude of mind kind of on a flyer and once people are actually...
Yeah, and then finally, I do agree. We could totally flip, you know, I was thinking about it, and, you know, when you guys are kicking it around, but, you know, you could have it, the author of the books come after explaining that Sherry Huber has been a student and teacher of Zen for 30 years. And really, that's kind of a mashup of what's on many of the back of her books, you know, the Keep It Simple books when they give her bio. So that's really where that all came from. So whatever form they use might be a nice example of what we could use on the flyer if you want to look at a book.
Great. All right, good. Well, thanks a lot, everybody. That was really helpful. So we'll do the next step here, and we're going to have to run it by our editor after our editor's actually away right now, but when she gets back. And then I think we can just start using them. Does anybody see any reason why we can't? Okay, great. And then next up on a business level is we actually rewrote the web part. thing that we're working on yesterday, but I don't want to take the time to do it on the call today because otherwise the whole call will be that. So we can work on that. I think that might be informed by the conversation we have in Green Cove also. And we're working on the orientation email that goes out to people to tell people kind of what to expect. So how about if we do an exercise next? I wonder if folks have pencil and paper within their reach out there. What I thought we could do is, this is just a real simple thing, to try it out, try out this process on our call. And I thought we could just do this in the normal way we do other exercises, where we go through it and then we just say, what'd you notice? So let me ask you a series of questions to answer, and we'll just answer them one at a time. So the first question is, where are you now as a facilitator or in your facilitation practice? Where are you now in your facilitation practice? And I'll give you a second to work on that.
Could Catherine ask a question?
Sure.
I keep getting muted. Is that normal? I mean, I'm not doing anything, and then suddenly my line's muted.
No, I've never heard of that before.
Okay. I don't know what's going on, so okay.
Okay, next question is, where are you going? Where are you going in your facilitation practice? Okay, next question is, what gets in the way? Or what holds you back from where you're going as a facilitator?
Just muted, so I'm wondering if someone is trying to mute themselves and we're all getting muted. Or am I the only
I'm not sure what's going on. Tony, do you have any idea?
I don't. I mean, she could maybe try hang up and try to call back in and see if that helps.
Okay, Catherine, if you can do that, wait till we finish the exercise, if you don't mind.
All right, sure.
The question we're on right now is, what gets in the way? last question is, what do you need to let go of in order to get where you're going as a facilitator?
What do we need
to let go of in order to get wherever it is that you're going as a facilitator in your facilitation practice? And then whenever you're done with that question, if you look over what you wrote and make a couple notes about what you see. I'll say that again in case anybody didn't hear me. Once you finish with the questions, if you take a look over what you wrote and see what you see, make any notes you want to about that. Okay, so what we're going to do just for kicks to facilitate this is rotate the facilitation amongst the monks here who are sitting here in the gazebo. So I wonder if we could have a volunteer, you know, who wants to share and somebody want to facilitate? Okay, Melinda.
Oh, sure.
Great.
This is Michael.
Yes, hi, Michael.
That exercise was just really great, and what I'm seeing is... in terms of where am I now and where am I going, just a lot of gratitude, a lot of participation, open to new experiences, just all kind of expansive things. And then what I saw about what gets in the way is wanting to be admired or respected or seen as a leader or seen as, you know, having an important role. And I can just see how that just holds me back.
Yeah. So starting out with seeing the gratitude and just really the expansion that can happen as you facilitate. And when you look at what's holding you back, it sounds like it's kind of image stuff. It's how do I look, and I want to be a leader, and things that may be a conversation going on about a separate Michael.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fascinating, too, that contrast between where I am now and where kind of ego comes in with that image stuff.
Yes, so the contrast between the expansiveness and the really, really feeling okay about how it's going, and then in comes stuff that is designed to pull the energy out of it.
Yeah, because the first part is really just what I'm experiencing now, and then ego comes in to try to make that mean something or as if I'm going somewhere.
Yeah, the contrast between now and an imaginary other time.
Yeah. Yeah, this is really helpful.
Yeah, great.
Who'd like to go next?
Well, this is Karen. I'll go.
Karen?
Hi. Let's see. Just where I am now with the short time I've been doing it, I'm just getting so much more comfortable and enjoying it. But still have a lot of questions that come up.
Have a lot of questions come up? Is that what you said?
Yeah, still have a lot of questions that come up for me.
Oh.
And where am I going? I thought that was really interesting to just look at that, and because I don't think that I'm really going anywhere except I hope one day two things. I hope I'll have a sitting group. I hope that I'll have people to meditate with because I really I just really want to get to meditate with people. And have that Sangha meditation experience here. And then hoping that people will come really be inspired by Sherry's teachings and her readings and want to come to the monastery. That was the big thing that I hope this is all going.
Hey, Karen, do you think that that interference is on your phone? I can't tell if it's your phone or maybe someone else's. It's sort of like someone's
a big scratchy that went away.
Yeah, it went away.
I think it might have been on my phone, and it's my landline. But
okay, much better now.
Okay. And thinking, what holds me back, and this is, I'm not sure about this, is that thinking there's a whole bunch of things I need to learn, and almost like I need a little, I would call it like an algorithm. Like if they say this, I'm going to say that. Like this
right.
recipe thing that I can clearly see that would never work well.
Right. On one sec. I know I have an answer for that, but I got to look it up.
Yeah. And and so I think that's the big thing I need to let go of is thinking that there is so much that I need to learn. And
Boy, that's so great to see, isn't it? I mean, I'm just projecting. There's just no way a person could see that without practice because that's so believable. That, I mean, I just, you know, I want to be good at this thing, and so what do? Well, you learn a lot. You learn a lot. You study, and you get it right.
Yeah.
But to see that that's actually the thing that's holding you back is kind of revolutionary.
Yeah, and that just really, just practicing being present.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to make it all happen, I think.
Yeah, just practicing being present. Nothing more magical than that. It's the, you know, so simple and yet quite challenging.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
This is Trace.
And I'll go next. Hello, this is Trace.
Trace.
It's Therese. this was so helpful on so many different levels, people have said, but for me what I saw is that where I want to go gets held back by the belief that I'm not ready, that there's not enough time, and that conditioning really has me locked into this either-or pattern. Should have started the group a long time ago, because now, given what's coming up in life, oh, you're never going to be able to do it. And really, though, there's a lot of fear behind it. Like, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be a good facilitator.
So it's basically, conditioning's got to step. It's basically not possible for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but so it's interesting what I just saw, though, is so what I need to let go. Of conditioning, and so it was really helpful to see, kind of coinciding with the practice plan, you know, the PPP, that's really about sitting down and saying what is important in that place of the heart. Kind of, I don't even know. I just really saw a connection between that, saying that this is what's really important in making that the commitment, rather than sort of stuck in that. Really going with what conditioning is saying, that oh, it's never going to happen, and just you participate on this other level, you know, calls and all these things, but really you can't dive in.
Right, and I think we're saying the commitment is on a process level, right, not a content level. Because, I mean, I happen to know what is coming up soon in your life, and, I mean, there's no telling what will happen after that happens. Right? So it's not so much a commitment on the content level, but on the process level. You're committed, or you want to commit to the process, basically, of not believing that story that it's not possible for you and discovering how it is possible for you given the circumstances that are coming up.
Yeah, that's so true. And then I realize, oh, how I get beaten up for that. You know, that that you're right. Yeah, I didn't even realize it is made content versus the really I've commitment is there to the process. But when I, you know, even doing this exercise, then everything is very literal. Like, okay, I need to start being a facilitator at this certain time. It needs to happen this way, and then what gets in the way, you know, and so again, just belief that if it doesn't happen that way, oh, I'm not practicing. It's not true.
Yeah, and that's what really gets in the way, isn't it? Because that puts you in communication with the voices. Instead of in communication with life and just the ability to respond to the way life kind of has it laid out for you that will work.
Right. Yeah, so this is perfect. All that huge package of conditioning that I see now in so many ways, and, you know, here it is again. So to remember that it is a
You're echoing a lot, Teresa. I don't know if we got everything, but that sounds great.
Great, yeah, thanks. I know, I hear this too.
Thank you.
So, Tracy, were you there in line?
Yes, that would be great.
Go for it.
Okay, good. You know what, looking over my answers, what the two dualities that came up for me were, where am I now? I have like a consistent three people, and sometimes they're, you know, one person's there, sometimes two, sometimes three, and I'm really ready to like put it out there for new people. And then the answer of what gets in the way is really getting blocked about self-promoting when there's actually no self to promote.
Yeah, isn't that just one of those really rocks and hard places?
Yeah, and it's like this practice is so dear to me, and I've had the experience of, you know, talking about it or, you know, and then getting so shut down or someone just doesn't want to listen. So I'm really cautious about speaking about it. So there's part of me that just wants this great flyer that I can hang, and then they'll just come, and there's no I that will actually have to do the promoting.
Mm-hmm.
I see that I don't want an I to do the promoting, but some way I want the door to get opened to see if people are gravitated towards it, and then I feel like I can take it from there, and there's no really I taking it from there, but there's someone that shows up that knows that they can take it from there. So that's my spot.
Yeah, so really feeling very ready to have a larger group than you've been having. And then getting into this, well, but am I feeling blocked in what's being called self-promotion, which is really tricky when we understand on some level that there is no self. And hoping, it sounds like kind of hoping that there will just be an opening that will kind of draw people. And that maybe the flyer...
Yeah.
That maybe the flyer will assist with that.
Yeah. You know, there's part of me that feels a little like, oh, I wish I was at the monastery because then people just show up there. I wouldn't have to be advertising for people to show up. But there's something about, like, being in a community and putting yourself out there in a way where I so feel like, you know, I can be in a place where it feels like a selfless service, and yet there needs to be a step of, you know, information or, you know, kind of somehow putting it out there that it exists,
and wanting,
you know, the
wanting to have that not be about putting Tracy out there, but wanting to let people know that this possibility for practice exists.
Exactly. Yeah, and I've posted, you know, the old flyer that we had, I posted it, you know, at the library and yoga centers and health food stores, and, you know, I just haven't had much response from it.
Uh-huh.
And so there's, I don't know if it's, you know, trying to just trust that when there's someone that's ready, they'll get drawn towards it. And I'm also just curious if there's some other idea about what else could be possible.
Well, I keep looking back on the experience of the first the Mountain View Zen Center and then the Zen Monastery Peace Center, where, as you probably have heard, Sherry was sitting there with just Sherry for a long time, and then she was sitting there with one or two other people. And the same was true at the monastery, where a group of four was a crowd. And that it just, it's one of those, in many areas, it just fills really, really slowly.
Yeah, and, you know, it was so great to get that email about the judge that had sent in to Sherry about being the only person at the group that day and how that person never showed up again, but how much they used the practice in the work that they do and just how, you know, incredible of an impact it was.
Yeah, that's really neat. It points to we can't really have a clue what's going on for other people, whether they show up or not, but we can be really, really attentive and caring for the person who's here wanting to do the facilitation.
Yeah, so that was really great. I mean, I know that for me, just that hour of showing up each week has been just an incredible gift, and,
yeah.
You know, I project the people that do keep showing up, that there is something, you know, it just feels really precious, and I guess there's part of me that's afraid to do anything that's going to not keep it really precious in the way that it feels like conditioning hasn't taken it over.
Yeah, so some stories going on that you're watching.
Yeah. Mostly about just making it bigger.
Yeah. Thanks,
so
Tracy.
Thank you.
This is Marie.
Hey, Marie.
Is that
go ahead, Marie.
I've been looking at a few things. You know, I really enjoy facilitating the group we have here. And it's so far pretty small, and the people that come to it share really practice things.
Uh-huh.
And so it's really a really rich, kind of luxurious experience every week.
Mm.
And I'm enjoying that.
Mm-hmm. So really interesting sharing the richness of practice with your fellow practitioners who it sounds like have been coming for a while.
Yeah. And the other thing that's going to happen is just, I don't know, lately it's been really strong is a desire to do more.
Mm.
And something that gives me a more, you know, varied experience.
Uh-huh.
And
a more
there
varied.
Is somebody, yeah. And there's somebody in me who just absolutely loves facilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets held back a lot by... it's this visibility thing.
Uh-huh. Not wanting to be visible?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like an unconscious, you know, it pulls at me when I'm not really aware that it's doing it.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, but somebody in me keeps having these ideas bubble up of some other ways she could facilitate.
Other ways she could facilitate? Like other kind of things besides the sitting group or what?
Yeah. Because one thing that's hard for me with the sitting group is I travel a lot, and
uh-huh.
I feel like I don't really live here completely.
Right.
And so it's hard right now for me to put a whole lot of energy into marketing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so then I start having ideas come up like, well, you know, maybe as a practice, we might need phone key groups for people in areas where they don't have groups. Or, I don't know, some part of me just keeps having ideas about ways I could do more.
Oh, wow, that's very fun. And so it sounds like as you do that, so that we can guess that's
someone, and then the other part of you who doesn't probably want that, because for her she doesn't want to be visible. It sounds like it'll be a matter of taking care of her needs, that so that that doesn't get in the way of what's possible as a facilitator.
Yeah, and it's what seems interesting to me is I feel like something shifted, because that the part that really wants, or whoever, I hope it's center, that wants to facilitate.
Yeah.
That just feels really strong for me right now, that it's more, just, well, hey, maybe I can do this, or, it's looking for a way to be expressed.
Yeah, well, that's funny, too, a little bit off the topic, but I was looking at that, too, as you were saying that. It's so interesting when you said, the part of me who, some part of me really wants to facilitate, and I was looking at that, too, and thinking, huh. And I could kind of see, so we can guess, surely there's parts of all of us who don't want to facilitate, for whatever reason. And then there's just kind of a welling up of wanting to give back what we've all received. And then there may well be someone who has it in them to kind of step forward and be willing to be public and be willing to blah, blah, blah. And it's sort of like that, can we have the energy of that part of us help us to get to where we want to be as facilitators? And, of course, the beauty of it is if an identity begins to facilitate, it won't work.
Right,
it just won't work.
Right.
But that's not the same as there's a part of me who's going to help me move in that direction. And great, good person to have on the team.
Yeah, because, for a while I did a lot of facilitation in other venues,
mm-hmm.
and it was just my favorite thing to do. I mean, it was the most present period of my life or time in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't do a lot of that kind of stuff anymore, and so I don't know. It's just looking for expression, I think.
Yeah. Well, and I think the timing is kind of exquisite, because I think, sort of like Dave was talking about with Green Cove coming up and just all the different conversations that are happening, that folks have been facilitating a really long time, you're one of them, might be able to assist with some of those expansion opportunities. So it's really quite sick.
Yeah, so anyway, I just wanted to say it out loud.
Uh-oh, it's on the record now. That's great. Thanks, Marie.
Thank you.
For the next person, I just wanted
Janet.
Hang on a second, Janet. Just to mention, that's a really interesting idea. I don't know if other people caught that. Yeah, I mean, because that takes care of a lot, could take care of a lot of the nobody comes to my group thing. Because, and multiple facilitators could participate in the same call. So, we'd all be kind of listening and hearing each other. And I thought that was really fun. I put it on the list to talk about, whenever we talk about those things. Janet.
Well, I love doing this assignment. I thought it was great. And when you first asked the question, where am I now in facilitation practice, the first words that came out were at the beginning. And it just seems like at the beginning is, of course my dogs are going to bark right now. At the beginning seems like a really great place.
Yeah, I've been trying like crazy to get past the beginning and still have not finished it, it seems like.
It seems like a great place because what I wrote later, because it seems like what gets in the way is whenever I think that I know something. Or whenever I think that I know where a person is heading, and whenever I think that I already know that story,
mm-hmm.
and that is such a dangerous place. And
it is.
As I was, yeah,
it's
and,
a dangerous
and I can
place in a lot of ways, and it also is. It kind of holds everybody back. It holds you back in your kind of role, and also you might even say your power as a facilitator. And then, of course, it's going to hold everybody else back who's involved, because instead of, getting, an opening for where they want to go, they're getting some kind of an idea about who they are.
Yeah, and what's great is that I can really see it when it arises in me,
mm-hmm.
That's really good. And when I was looking at it, I was thinking, I actually get the opposite, too, because there could be the opposite, like, well, I don't know anything, so therefore I can't really do anything.
Right, yeah. As you said that, it's not about knowing at all, is it?
Right.
Either side of it, it's about being there.
Yes, so then when you said, what do I need to let go of, I was, it's obviously letting go of that there's a right way, and that there's something I need to have or do out there, but rather it's just dropping into right here.
Mm-hmm. And I'm
being
curious,
so completely present.
On the part of where are you going? What did you say at that point?
Where am I going? To be more attentive, more internal, more centered, more practicing no agenda.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly how to get there, isn't it? Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
It all comes together.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was really good to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really helpful, isn't it, to see exactly how it is. Not just what it is, but how it is that we get blocked by conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then, like you say, I mean, you can watch it arise. You can watch the knowing come up there or the not knowing, and you know in a different kind of knowing that that's not where you want to be facilitating from.
Yeah, and I feel like I have the tools now to leave that and drop back. It's like just remembering to take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that's right, I'm just here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
So, okay. Thank you.
Let's do one more.
Bob?
Hey, Bob.
Well, what I've been looking at a lot recently is how much conditioning wants me to look at what's not in my life rather than what is.
Back over to lack and deprivation.
And it's actually been great because I've been seeing it. And like, there was a lot of sadness when the facilitation retreat was canceled. I was really looking forward to that. But I don't know, that I was able to really move past it pretty quickly because, for one, I was able just to say, well, someone's just sad about that, and that's okay.
Uh-huh.
But there are all these other opportunities. And so I'm really excited about, you know, these calls turning in more into training rather than business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like a huge opportunity for me.
Yeah, and that fills a little bit of that lack that you experienced or the sadness when the retreat got canceled.
Right, right. And I've been, you know, I've listened through the retreat recordings, and you know, it was just so helpful. I mean, it's partly why I was sad that there wasn't going to be one this year, because it just seemed incredible. But I started to see, like, you know, and I've been doing this, that, you know, I can do this, you know, that I can take, you know, whatever I get from those CDs, from those recordings, and I've been using them as, you know, just in, like, my own little training, just on my reflective listening calls.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Really,
so having that weekly opportunity to work with the tools that you're picking up, well, not only from the CDs of the retreat, but just from your own practice, but being able to put those into practice on the RLB calls.
Right. I mean, I just found it really helpful just to listen to those recordings over and over again, because there's just so much there.
Mm-hmm.
And like someone initially felt like, well, I just need to kind of just listen to them and then move on to the next thing. But it just seems like I could just spend all my time just listening to them over and over again.
It's amazing, isn't it, that you can hear something, if this is the experience you're pointing at, because it's certainly my experience, I can hear it over and over again, and there's something different that stands out every time.
Right, right. And there's someone who wants to, like, hold everything each time, which
yeah.
is impossible for me.
Yeah, because that might be the guy who wants to go into the actual facilitation knowing how to do it.
Yeah. And as I look at it, and I look at all these questions, I mean, what I want is this right now. That's it.
This what you have.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's, and for one, it's a lot. I feel incredibly privileged to be part of this process, and it's perfect right now.
Yeah. It's another word for freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Really neat, Bob. Is there more?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tony, we're going to have to cut off there to be in integrity with our time. Before I do, does anybody, I felt like that worked as a process. Did other people feel that way?
Yeah, that was great.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, it was great.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Well, you know, if anybody has things they want to look at or exercises that they could see us doing, either something you remember from a facilitator retreat or just something you know that would be helpful for you, send it on in, and we'll just kind of work through them as we go through.
Okay.
Tony, is there anything we need people to know before we let them
go? Do we send that stuff to, which email address do we send that stuff to?
You know, I get confused about that, too. Tony, what's the correct way to do that?
Well, my understanding right now would be if you send it to tony@livingcompassion.org.
Okay.
Okay, so anything for this call, we send to tony@livingcompassion.org.
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. And when's our next call? Let's see.
We have one scheduled, I think it's May 1st, which a lot of us will be at Green Cove.
I was not aware of that. What time? I think we might have changed that and didn't let you know, Tony.
Oh, okay.
That one's been canceled, according to my
calendar. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Sorry.
Oh, okay. We obviously need to schedule some more, so we'll put that on our agenda here.
So is May 1 canceled?
May 1 is canceled.
Okay.
We have the pilot practice plan is happening on that day, so we had to bump the facilitator's call.
I wondered if there's anybody that came on after roll.
Michael's here.
Okay.
Ramita?
Yeah, I think
roll.
Ramita?
Ramita?
Thank you, Ramita.
Hey, Tony?
Yes?
A little technical comment. I think I was the first caller. I called in a minute or two before the hour. And sometimes you can get stuck on hold. And so I had to call back in, and it was, 5 minutes past. So if people ever have that experience, calling back in can help.
Okay. Great.
Okay, good. Well, thanks, everybody. So we'll come up with some calls out to you so we can keep going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.